Once again, we are in the book of Luke, in the final chapter of Luke. And in our walk with Peter, observing what he has observed, considering the things which had come to pass in those days, as we read back in chapter 24, verse 12, then arose Peter and he ran into the sepulcher. Stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Peter had gone to the tomb and he had saw the Lord was not there. In our last study, the Lord had appeared to the 11 and also to the two men from the village of Emmaus, frightening them, for they thought they were seeing a ghost. Yet our Lord was merciful to them and he had compassion. He told them, "Peace be unto you." The God of all creation spoke to those men who feared for what they saw before them. Up until that time, there had never been anything like it. And there they stood with their blessed Savior, seeing the wounds in his hands, the wounds in his feet. Would you and I not have thought the same thing? Woo, what's going on here? Yet our Lord says to you and I this very day, with all the things that are going on around us in the world, "Peace be unto you." Even further than that, to reassure them that he was no ghost, look with me, if you would, at verses 36 through 45. "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, 'Peace be unto you.' But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he, our Lord, said unto them, 'Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Do you and I not have this same trouble? Do we not walk through this world at times having thoughts arise in our minds about what we see with our own eyes rather than trusting in our Lord as he has said in the scriptures?" Going on in verse 39, he says, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" Instead of rebuking his children there before them, "Well, I'm right here before you. You can handle me." But instead of rebuking them for their continued not trust, not understanding, fear, he said this instead. He says, "Have you any meat? Here, let me take it a step further and prove to you further who I am." What a caring God. Folks, this is how our Lord has cared for us from the beginning of anything, any creation. Everything he's done has been for the care of his people, to bring us to know and to love our Savior for who he is. Verse 42, we go on to read, "And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, 'These are the words.'" Look how he reminds them of what he's been saying. He does this to you and I. He reminds us. Oh, what a forgetful people we are. Oh, how he reminds us of the love that he has for us. "These are the words," he says, "I spake unto you," in verse 44, "while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." And here's some words that just bring peace to my heart. "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And then he said unto them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it is behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day.'" It's almost as though we see Peter walking on water again, isn't it? He walks out of the boat, he's walking on the water, and what does he do? He does the same thing you and I do every day. Does the same thing you and I would do every moment if the Lord didn't grab a hold of us and take us down the path that we need to be on. He'd take his eyes off of Christ, and that's exactly what he did. And when he began to sink, what did our Lord do? He reached down, lovingly reached down and grabbed Peter by the hand, and he said, "Do not be afraid." Folks, this is what our Lord is telling you and I. Don't be afraid of all that's going on around you in the world. Don't be afraid of what's going on in your own body. Don't be afraid of these things, because our Lord rules it all. We've got a lot of stuff before us in the world around us. A lot of political garbage, a lot of other garbage, a lot of garbage we carry around within ourselves. What do we have to be afraid of? I know it's an unknown thing. And if anybody can say that they're afraid, I can say that. These things that go on around us scare me to death. The things that go on in my own life scare me to death. I wonder at times, Lord, where is my faith? Help me, Father. How can I be called a child of God when my faith is so weak? Thus it is written, thus it is behooved, Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Here's true grace. Here is true mercy. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, are we the whosoever? I believe. God help my unbelief, but I believe. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. With that word, with those words in mind, listen to what it says in Matthew 16:15. He saith unto them, speaking to the apostles, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Did Peter just get smarter one day and figure it all out? Was he just a better man now than he was yesterday because he's figured things out? No. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, and this is why Peter was able to say that very thing. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. We see the love of God in opening the scriptures to us. What was it that continued to draw John to this place where a man stood before me and read from the scriptures as this? It was Christ, God Almighty, drawing me to the Word and revealing it to me for truth. Where I had walked for all those years through my life saying, I don't need any of that. That doesn't mean anything to me. I now see the truth in God's Word of what I am. The Spirit convicted me of the sinner that I am before God. He opened the truth of the Word. We who could not and would not believe are brought to an understanding of Scripture. Could there be anything more of a blessing than this? Lord, open your Word to us this morning and give us an understanding of your love, a love for your people. Don Fortner wrote this. He says, we are particularly blessed when we remember the men to whom these words were addressed. Our Lord Jesus spoke these very words to those same disciples who 3 days before had shamefully forsaken him and fled. How many times does John Reeves do that in one day? I'm ashamed to count. They shamefully forsake him and they fled. They were broke. They had broken their promises. They had forgotten that they had professed readiness to die with him just before. They were scattered, every man to his own, and they left him, our Lord and Savior, to die alone. And the one that we're actually watching, the one that we're actually looking at, had denied the Lord 3 times. Don goes on to write, he says, they were all backsliding children, as we read in Jeremiah 3:22, but the Lord Jesus had promised this in Hosea 14:4. He says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Do you get the mercy and the grace going on here? Oh, we may backslide. We may fall into temptation, but our Lord always brings us back to looking to him. Why? Because he loves us. Because he has loved us from before the world was. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Notice that there was not a word of rebuke in his word. Not a single sharp reproof fell from his lips. Calmly and quietly he appeared in the midst of them and he spoke, peace be unto you. How free his love must be. Truly, his is love that passes all knowledge. It is his glory to pass over iniquity, transgression, and sin, for he delighteth in mercy. He is far more willing to forgive than we are to be forgiven. And he's far more ready to pardon than we are to be pardoned. There is in his great, almighty, infinite heart, infinite forgiveness. Though our sins have been as scarlet, he makes them as white as snow. He has blotted them out, cast them behind his back, buried them in the depths of the sea, and he remembers them no more. Though like those poor disciples, we are constantly stumbling and falling, constantly backsliding children, his forgiveness is free, full, and undeserved forgiveness. The peace and forgiveness that he speaks to our troubled hearts is the same peace that he spoke to them. It is a peace obtained by the blood of his cross, flowing from our crucified, risen Savior. The peace of complete redemption, perfect atonement, and absolute forgiveness. He speaks peace to our souls, saying, I have blotted out thy sins. Fury is not in me. Christ is the Savior who gives peace to needy sinners. In his pierced hands, there is mercy enough to spare. He raises the dead, revives the languished, restores the fallen, and heals the wounded. There is forgiveness in him, that he may be feared. End of quote. Turn with me, if you would, now to the 20th chapter of John. Here we see the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of his brethren, assembled with his saints. He appeared in their midst. He visits the church. When his disciples had acted very shamefully, fleeing from him at his betrayal and deserting him in his trial, they were unprepared and unbelieving, doubting his promises and refusing the testimony of his messengers. How greatly they needed him. How greatly you and I need him. For we are like sheep. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Yet they had come together in his name. Quite interesting, isn't it? Even though they had seen the tomb and that he was no longer there, even though there was doubt and fear in their hearts, where did they go? They gathered together. They gathered together in his name as disciples in loving memory of him. When he appeared in their midst, he spoke peace to them, showing them himself, permitting each of them to handle him and prove himself to them. Are we not in the same condition as the disciples? This is what we miss when we are absent from the assembly of the saints. I know it was my Lord's will that my brother and his wife moved off to Colorado. I have no doubt in my mind that they are there to be with the saints who moved there from Oregon. But it's difficult for me to understand how a group of people can go without meeting in a church body, not a building. This is just a building. We all know that. We all know that the church of God are the people of God, those who are called out. We miss the blessings of God when we are absent from the assembly of the saints. You know, there was one disciple. There was one disciple, a true believer who was not present at this assembly, wasn't there? His name was Thomas. Thomas was not with his brethren in the house of God, and we are not told why he was not present, so let's not guess about it. But we do know that he was not there. We read that in 24 through 21. Read with me if you will. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Now remember, this is 8 days later. Does our Lord not know everything? He knows everything. Folks, we can't hide anything from our Lord. Don't sit there with pride in your heart, as I do sometimes. Because that's when we'll stumble and we'll come to that realization once again that our Lord rules over everything. That's a tough thing to go through, but we have to go through it over and over and over again, don't we? Reach hither, he says to Thomas, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, be not unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's you and I. Oh, to see our Lord face to face, continuing in verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. When we are absent, when we take ourselves away from the church for other reasons, from the house of God, we absent ourselves from the ministry of the word and the fellowship of our family, and we miss the blessedness of Christ's manifestation, his presence. These are things that we may miss out. The indescribable privilege of seeing him and hearing him, handling him and feasting with him. So let's close today's study here in the account that the Apostle John gives in chapter 21. Look with me, if you would, at verses 1 through 9 of John chapter 21. And after these things, in other words, after he had just revealed himself to his disciples, after he had just spoken peaceably, lovingly to them, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on the wise showed himself. They were together, Simon, Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael, and Cana, and Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Remember, we're studying Peter. We're looking at the things that our Lord is bringing Peter through to teach him the things that he needs to know before he sits down and writes the two epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter. Simon Peter, in verse 3, said unto them, I go a-fishing. I'm done with what I was doing there. That's all over with. Time for me to go back to what I know. I go a-fishing. I remember Pastor Gene bringing a message on that one time. I could just see Pastor Gene standing there in maybe a loincloth or a skirt or whatever they were wearing in those days and say, it's time. Going to go fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And he answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. So they cast the net therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciples whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat on it, unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire and coals there of fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, well, let's finish, let's hold up there for just a moment. I want to read for you something that Henry Meehan wrote about that. He says, the disciples came to their defeat, their frustration, and their failure at the sea to find a fire kindled, speaking of the fishing all night long. They came to their failure at the sea to find a fire kindled and a meal of bread and fish prepared for them by the Lord. What a lesson for those who minister the gospel. We are unable to provide anything in our own strength, but by his grace he will fully meet our needs. Also, the Master's provisions are so complete that nothing of ours need to be added to it. The command when he provides is simple. He said, come and dine, for all things are ready. Is this not so with redemption? Does he not say to each and every one of us when he opens the scriptures to us, come and dine with me? Is that not his desire? It's ready for us. Oh, you see the peace our Lord gives us, folks? Do you see the peace, and he handles it all? He takes care of it all? Christ is all and in all. All we bring to him is our emptiness, our need, and our sin. We stand before him in his spiritual blessings as weary, hungry disciples as they stood before that meal, naked, standing there before our Lord Jesus, seeing that it was all provided by their loving Lord. Now verse 10. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish that which ye have now caught. The disciples landed their boat with the net full of fish and they drug it behind and they ran to where Peter was, their fish dragging behind the boat. And then they ran to where Peter was and the master was standing beside a fire of coals. And they all stood amazed and delighted before a complete meal of bread and fish that was prepared by the Lord. Before they were to dine and talk, though, there was something that must be done. Our Lord knew that net of fish must be cared for. So he said, bring your fish to land. And Simon Peter in verse 11 went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes and 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Did you notice that Peter actually had the time to count 153? Our Lord does not leave things undone and just sitting there. This needed to be done. This blessing that our Lord brought for his people that had to be completed. Usually that many fish would break a net, but there was not a tear in it as we read. Everything connected to this incident, everything connected to that miracle was in order to strengthen the faith of his disciples who would carry the gospel to the world. You remember not too far back in the book of Luke, we read our Lord said to Peter, he says, Satan wished to sift you as wheat. Think Peter's the only one Satan wishes to sift? If that were the case, then our Lord wouldn't say in chapter 17 of John, I pray not for the world, but I pray for them that thou hast given me. That's what he said to Peter right after that. He says, but I have prayed for you. In opening the scriptures to each and every one of us, our Lord is speaking to us right now saying, I have prayed for you. All the trouble that we may be going through in this life, all the heartache that we must deal with as we walk through this valley of the shadow of death, it is all to be laid at the feet of our Lord and Savior because he prays for us. And everything our Lord takes us through is to strengthen us and prepare us for the next thing that he has for us. Verse 12, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Evidently, not much conversation had to take place that moment, for our Lord was doing the instructing. The disciples were silently stunned. They were awed in his presence and before his great power. They landed the boat and they stood about in silent wondering, observing him and the meal that he had provided, emptied the net and counted their catch as he had instructed them. And now he said to them, come, eat. And not one of them asked, what are you doing? Why did you do this? No, they were basking in the glory that their master was once again with them, once again providing for them, once again serving them, and they were satisfied and happy. Verse 13 and 14 we read, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, for after he was risen from the dead, our Lord took the bread and fish which he was prepared and he gave it to them. It is so important for us to observe that the banquet of mercy is provided and served to hungry sinners of the blessed Lord himself, Henry Mahan. In Psalms 23, we read this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. These men had nothing to want at the time. Everything they needed was right there before them. Verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus said unto Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Again, I'm going to refer from Henry Mahan where he writes, after they had finished eating and had refreshed themselves, the Lord singled out Simon Peter and he said unto him, lovest thou me more than these? This setting was similar to the one in which Peter had denied the Lord. It was around a fire and Peter denied the Lord three times. Some suggest that the Lord pointed to the boats, the nets in the sea, which had been Peter's life and occupation. Now his life was to be Christ's. Now he was to be a soldier for Christ. Now he was to be an apostle. And his occupation was to be to preach and feed the Lord's sheep. Others go on to say that Christ asked Peter if he really loved him more than the other disciples loved him. For Peter had said, though all shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended by thee. That was in Matthew 26:33. But Peter did not hesitate. nor did he boast of the degree of his love. He simply replied, "Lord, you know that I love you." With modesty and humility, yet acknowledgement of the omniscience of Christ and his own affection for Christ, he declared his love for the Master, and the Master declared, "Feed my lambs." Once again, referring back to that scripture where our Lord prayed for Peter, what did he say after he says, "I pray for you"? He says, "When you have been restored, comfort your brethren." When we've been restored from something that we've stepped in, from one of our own failings, our own sins, and the Lord has brought us back to looking to Him as our Savior and putting away the flesh, and don't tell me you don't, because we all do, turn to Christ. That's what we say. This is what the Lord will do for us. He'll bring us back to Him every time. Verse 16, he saith unto him again, second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And Peter saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him again, "Feed my sheep." Henry Mahan once again writes, the second question is a little different from the first in that Peter, in that the Lord left out more than these. And he simply asks him, "Do you love me?" Peter's reply is the same way as before, as if to say, "What more can I say or do? You know that I love you." And our Lord says, "Feed my sheep." Verse 17, and he saith unto him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he, our Lord, said unto him, or no, Peter said unto the Lord, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." Peter was grieved when the Lord had asked him a third time. It's been suggested that the Lord asked this question three times because Peter had denied him three times. Is it possible that the memory of that incident added to Peter's grief, that the Lord should keep repeating the same question? Peter appealed to the Lord's complete knowledge of all things, of all men's hearts, of all men's thoughts, and he replied, "Lord, you know all things." The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our Lord knows it perfectly. You say, "Well, why do you share that with us, John?" Because never trust your own heart. Never trust your own feelings. We have faith in the Lord, yes, but our faith does not save us. The Lord saved us. And even our faith cannot be trusted, for it is sometimes very small, is it not? But there's something we can always trust in. We can always trust in this: "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's a promise that He will keep. Folks, this trust in our Lord is a vital issue. It's the question of questions. For all professed Christians do love Christ. Not do you love the Word, the doctrine, the church, the law, the people of God, though you certainly will if you love Christ, but do you love Him? This is where life and hope and grace are born, in love for Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:22, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha." And that just simply means to be accursed or approaching judgment. Again, the Lord said, "Feed my sheep." We might also observe the repetition of this phrase following Peter's declaration of love, of the love for his Lord. There are many who pretend to be shepherds, who feed themselves in time of trouble, leaving the flock, or who feed goats and not sheep, or who feed them not the true bread, the bread of truth. But since the work is so laborious, the opposition of the religious world is so great, the reproach of the world is so constant, and conflict with the powers of darkness are so real, only true lovers of Christ faithfully perform the work of feeding the sheep. This is why Paul stood before people and said, "I wish to know nothing of you save Christ and Him crucified." That's what we feed on. That's what feeds John Reeves. That's what gives John Reeves peace, is that my Lord has done it all. Sin has left a crimson stain on this flesh that stands before you, but my Lord has washed it clean. Peter is learning that very thing. It is not the flesh of Peter that will go forward. It is God in him. Why does Peter love God? Why does John love God? Why do any of you love God? Because he first loved us and gave himself for us. I personally, and I would not stand on this, you may think I'm wrong, you may have a different opinion about this, but I personally think this. Peter didn't say, "Yea, Lord, I do love you." He said, "Lord, you know." Why? Because Peter knows in his own heart that his flesh can't be trusted for nothing, but the Lord knows. You get my point? You get my point on that? Yeah. I can't trust my thoughts on love. That's part of this flesh. It's part of the sin that's in me. But I can trust him. And I can trust what he knows. And I can trust that if there's a love in me for him, it's because he put it there. My final thought is this. What think ye of Christ? Do we love him? Not as we'd like to, and not as we should, but love him we do, for he first loved us, and for that very reason, he will have us. Amen.